good to see all of you out, and I have been circulating a couple petitions here. Originally, I wasn't going to announce this from the pulpit, but really, I don't see any problem with it. Jason Welch, he is someone that I went to Faith Baptist Bible College with, and he is actually looking into running for the U.S. Representative for the 3rd District. And, of course, that's the area where we live right here. And so, in order to be placed on the primary ballot, he has to have so many signatures. And so, if you're interested in signing this, Jason is a born-again believer, and he would have a conservative platform that he's running on. So if you would like to sign this, all you have to do is sign it and put your address and date. And if we can send those in to him by the end of January, then that can help him on his way. And so we have one over here with Joy, and then we have this one as well. And we can get more copies too if you know of people that would be interested in signing this as far as supporting a born-again believer that is running for the U.S. House. So I wanted to mention that, and I'll put this on the back table also. Otherwise, as far as the announcements, we've probably most of you were here in the morning, but you can take a look at the bulletin. Next Sunday night is a fifth Sunday, so it'll be a time of testimonies and special music and singing. And then afterwards, we'll have a time of good food and fellowship. And so be sure to invite your friends to that if you can think of any neighbors or whatever. It can be a really good outreach time as well, but usually we have a good turnout for that. Also, we want to be praying for Eric. Betty mentioned that he was in a car wreck. He's only about 22 years old or so. So be praying for Eric, and I'll even be praying for him here in a few minutes. Otherwise, take a look at that bulletin. Come on Wednesday night. We have a business meeting, and we'll be dealing with the church's business there. And it's good to see all of you out. It's a good evening. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us here tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather freely as a group of born-again believers and worshiping you. And what a blessing it is to gather around the Word, to sing songs of praise to you, to lift up our voices in prayer. And what a just a blessed thought it is that we can worship you. And not only here at church, but even at home, at our workplace, wherever we're at, we should be living lives of worship. And so as we do sing these songs, as we read your word, as we're challenged by your word, I pray that you just mold us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We even do lift up some of those who are struggling with their health, and I do pray for Eric as he's been in this car wreck, and we don't know exactly how bad he's doing, but I do pray that you'd help him in this situation, that you'd even heal him if that'd be your will. I pray for the family, and even for the doctors and the nurses and all those involved, and I pray that your name would be glorified as a result of this. Even that souls would come to a saving knowledge of your Son as a result of this. And we know that you can bring great good out of situations like this. And so I do thank you for each one here tonight. It's a blessing to see so many faces here. And what a blessing it is to share this fellowship in Jesus Christ. So we do pray these things in His name. Amen.
As we sing 390 this evening, we're going to stand together. 390, may the mind of Christ my Savior. Let's sing together tonight. The sun was out earlier and it was really great. I know it's gone down now, but you know, in our hearts, the joy of the Lord is still there. I know that's a trial for me because I like the sun, but let's sing, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. In verse 2, may the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, sun, rain or shine, day or night. Let's sing. May the word of God dwell richly. Verse 2.
May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from heart to heart, so that all may see I triumph only through His power.
Verse 5.
Strong and brave to face the foe.
Good singing. Go ahead and have a seat and turn to 312. 312. I sang this for the first time last week, and a lot of you at least told me you liked it, so that was very nice of you. So we're going to try to sing it again. To be God's people, Almighty Father, give us a vision. 312. Just learning that, but you're doing excellently. So we move on to 443. Give me Jesus. 443. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. I'm sure you've experienced this. The thing that everybody wants to do, the next best thing that everybody wants to do, everybody wants to have. And yet, it only satisfies for a moment. And yet, every time we come back to Christ, I know Bob will tell you this every time. Every time you come back to Christ, that is what truly satisfies. And it lasts. Amen, Bob? Let's sing, Give Me Jesus.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. Thank you.
spent $470. $470. Footsteps of Jesus. $470. Think about the fact that we are on this journey and we wake up day and we go to sleep at night and we wake up again and every day things happen. You know, we have an idea what's going to happen, but they never happen that way. Then you go to bed again and it happens over the next day and next day, but at the end, thank you for that. But at the end of it all, then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done. Every day we're living this life, but it's going, it's careening inevitably to an end point. And that's going to be at Christ's throne, where everybody's going to see Him, we're all going to see Him, and we're all going to bow down and proclaim that He is Lord, that Jesus Christ is truly God. Our God, the only God. And that's reserved for me and all everyone else who's called in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking around here and I think that most all of you have. And isn't that amazing? Well, we're here together now and we're going to be there together someday soon. Dwayne likes that thought. I do too. So does the organ. All right. Am I a soldier of the cross? 482. A soldier of the cross. We do have many days yet, though, before that happens. Maybe not, but we live as though we do. So we have to ask ourselves, am I a soldier of the cross? So let's sing 482.
Thank you.
just the next page over to 484. Two pages, excuse me. 484. Who is on the Lord's side? That is a great song, a great tune, and you're sitting down, and that's okay. But as you're sitting down, you need to tell me one thing. What song do you want to sing next? We have time for one more quick one here. And I'm going to let you decide. We do believe God is sovereign, but He does need your help. What's that? I thought that's what God was saying. Sorry, what'd you say? 435. That's a lesson in election. What a friend we have in Jesus. A great old favorite.
Oh,
tonight. You did excellent.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. We could ask for no better friend, could we? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to this earth. I thank you that he died for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And I thank you that for those of us who are born-again believers, we can call Jesus our friend. And I thank you for that precious promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always there with us. And I pray that you'd help us to trust you even more. More and more every day. I pray that we'd surrender our lives to you, be wholly devoted to serving you with all of our hearts. So I do pray that you'd help us even as we look into your word. I pray that you'd encourage us and challenge us to even have the mind of Christ. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like a volunteer. I want this volunteer to tell me something. Tell me something that you have learned today. Who's going to be first? What have you learned today? Inez.
Be careful on the ice.
Yeah, be careful on the ice. That is a very important lesson to learn. And I think all of us probably have learned that at one time or another. What else have you learned today? Nobody else learned anything today? Elizabeth.
Well, about the gifts that... There's going to be a point where the
Messiah
is to be
given. That's right. We saw that this morning in Sunday school. And hopefully we're learning something every day from God's Word. But you've heard the phrase, never stop learning. And really, we never should stop learning, should we? And whether we realize it or not, we learn something every day. Now, a lot of times, you know, it might be kind of hard to come up, maybe when you're thinking of it right now. You're kind of thinking, well, what did I learn that was new today? And sometimes it's kind of hard to figure that out. But you know what? I think all of us really do learn something new every day. Now, it may not be, you know, random trivia. It may not be some astounding theory or something that just is mind-boggling as far as, you know, I learned this today. It might be something smaller. It might be something as simple as you learned that your husband liked or disliked this. You learned something new about your spouse. Or maybe it's something maybe it's a new word. A new word that you learned today. Or maybe it's a new way to do something. Hopefully you've learned something today from God's Word. We should be striving every day to learn something new from God's Word, or at least to be reminded of a truth from God's Word. But as we look at learning, there's different ways to learn things, isn't there? And I've thought of two main ways to learn things. There's learning by books, okay, book learning, and then there's learning by doing or by watching an example. Now let's say you want to learn how to swim. There's probably a number of ways that you can learn. You could probably get on the internet and you could find out all types of information as far as how to swim. You might even be able to see some videos as far as how to swim. Or you could go to the library and rent a book. Check out a book as far as how to swim, and you can learn all the techniques by reading about it. But do you think if you jumped in the pool you could really pick up on how to swim that well? How well do you think you would have learned it from the books? Now, on the other hand, you could actually find somebody who knows how to swim, and you could go to the pool, and you could both jump in the water, you know, probably the shallow section instead of the deep end. But then you probably could learn better that way, huh? By having someone show you how to swim. Now, back a few years ago when I was fixing up my house, see, I bought an old foreclosed house, and it needed a lot of work done. And you know, on my own, I was clueless as far as how to fix that house up. But you know what? Pastor Harris came alongside and said, you know what? Get that house. You know, if you get it, even though it's a dump right now, we're going to make it into something nice. Okay? Now, you have to realize, Pastor Harris is the type of person that can really visualize things in his mind. Now, my house, when I bought it, was really a dump. You know? Dave can testify to that, and probably any number of others. But you know what? As we worked on that house, I learned, first of all, you know, it's pretty fun to demolish things. It's fun to tear off the old sheetrock or to tear out the bathroom. You know, it's fun to do that. But then constructing things, actually building things, that's another thing. I learned how to do all types of neat things. I learned how to put sheetrock up. Anybody put sheetrock up before? And then you throw on that mud. Anybody throw the mud on in the seams of that sheetrock? You know, I learned how to do all those things and how to smooth it out, how to make it look nice, and then to blow the texture on the walls, and then to paint it, of course. I learned how to install electric fixtures as far as an outlet or maybe a light fixture. And, you know, I learned these things by watching him. I didn't check a book out and read about it. I could have done that, but yet I learned so much by watching Pastor Harris do these things, and I saw it enough to where I could pick up on it. I learned how to put shingles on my house. I learned how to you know, use a nail gun. All types of fun stuff. Learning it by example. I could watch Pastor Russ and see all the things that he knew how to do, and he showed me how to do them. Learning by example. Now, it's true, I probably could have gotten a construction book and read about all these things, but it would have taken a lot more work, a lot more trial and error figuring these things out than actually watching someone. Now, you know what? That's true in construction, but it's also true in the Christian life, isn't it? A lot of times, it's great to have somebody that you can see in flesh and blood, see a godly example, and as you see them live the Christian life, it's easy to follow that example and do some of the things that they're showing you or teaching you. Now, you know what's great? We should be reading the Bible, and we can learn a lot of things by just reading the Bible or hearing a preach. But you know, it's a really neat experience if you can walk hand in hand with someone that can really show you, they can mentor you as far as the Christian life is concerned. Now, we've been looking at the book of Philippians here lately, and we're going to be turning to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 30. But through this passage, Paul has been exhorting the Philippians. Don't be just looking at your own needs. Don't be self-centered. You need to be looking out for the needs of others. You need to be considering others more important than yourselves. He goes on to say, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And he went through how Jesus Christ, He is God. He shared the glory of God in the very beginning. He is God, but yet He did not use His deity to get something for His own advantage. He used His position really so that He could give. And He gave of Himself. He was humble. He was humbled to the point where He took upon Himself a human body. But even more than that, He humbled Himself to the utmost. He was obedient to the utmost, to the death of the cross. Wow. But then He was exalted. God also highly exalted Him. But then we continue on in Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says to the Philippians, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that works in you. You need to do all things. He gets very particular as far as how do you work out your own salvation. Well, you can do it particularly in the Philippians case by doing all things without complaining and murmuring or complaining and disputing or quarreling. And the goal there is that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So Paul is really driving home these points. You need to have the mind of Christ. That's so very important. But as we continue on in verses 19 through 30, and as we read it, we might think, well, Paul is kind of getting off the track here. He's kind of left this idea as far as having the mind of Christ, and now he's just talking about travel plans. Because as we read through that, we might think, well, Paul's just telling us about Timothy now and Epaphroditus. But as we look at this, I believe we really see two godly examples in flesh and blood. The Philippians can look at these godly men and see examples of those who have the mind of Christ. And so we come to Philippians chapter 2, and we look at verses 19 through 24, first of all, and we see one godly example of a man who has the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know His proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly." And so here is Paul. He's giving to the Philippians really his plans. And one of his plans were that he was going to send Timothy, this godly young man, he was going to send Timothy to them. And really the purpose of sending Timothy to them had a dual purpose. First of all, Timothy would be sharing with them how Paul was doing. It would be giving the Philippians an update as far as how Paul is doing. But also, Timothy is going to find out from the Philippians how they were doing, and then he would be able to go back and report to Paul and give Paul that report as far as how the Philippian church is doing. And so we look at this. We think today, if we want to know how someone is doing, what do? We might get on the internet and look at Facebook, right, and see what their status is. Or we may pick up the phone and give them a call. Or we may write an email. Or even if we're a little bit more, quote-unquote, old-fashioned and we want to use snail mail and go through the U.S. Postal Service, that's how we find out how people are doing. But in Paul's day, it wasn't that simple. Our snail mail would be rather quick for Paul in his day. And oftentimes, what they did, perhaps they sent a letter, but they would have to send that by a messenger. And so Timothy... I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Epaphroditus actually is the one who would be the messenger for Paul's letter. But as far as finding out how the Philippians were doing and giving the Philippians an update as far as himself, Paul couldn't get on the phone and just call them. No, he had to send a personal messenger. And Paul was going to send to them Timothy. And he was planning on doing that shortly. Now, Paul couldn't have just, probably if matters would have worked out, Paul had the desire, even as we read in verse 24, Paul had the desire to come and see them personally. And that's something he wanted to do soon. But you see, at the time Paul was writing this, where was he at? He was under arrest. He wasn't at liberty to go wherever he wanted. So because he couldn't go in person at this time, the next best thing really was to send Timothy. And Timothy would go and encourage them by giving a report concerning Paul and be able to go back to Paul and give an encouraging report concerning the Philippians. And so this is Paul's expectation, but it's not something that is written in stone. We find in verse 19, what does he say? But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. So really, Paul is trusting the Lord that this is what's going to happen, but he's not saying this is what is absolutely going to happen. What Paul is basically saying here, Lord willing, just like James says, if the Lord wills, I'm going to live and I'm going to do this or that. Paul is saying, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. All of us need to have that mindset. If we don't say it verbally, at least we need to have that mental mindset as far as if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this or that. All of our plans ultimately are dependent upon God's overall plan and purpose. And so we don't want to get the idea, I can do whatever I want. No, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. So Paul is having this mindset, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Paul was concerned about the Philippians. He wanted to know concerning how they were doing. And Paul also wanted the Philippians to know about him and for them to be encouraged. But why did Paul choose Timothy specifically and not someone else? Now we recognize here, I believe, Paul is in Rome at this time in prison. And Paul would have had a certain amount of believers around him, a certain amount of believers at his disposal. But notice what Paul says concerning Timothy. He chose Timothy for a specific reason, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So Paul had a certain group of people at his disposal. But Timothy was the only one that was qualified, in Paul's estimate, to go and do this ministry to the Philippians. Paul had no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Now, there are other believers around Paul, but yet these believers were not having the mind of Christ. They did not have that mind that Paul had as far as sincerely caring for their state. All seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So there were, I'm sure, other believers around Paul, but yet they did not have that mind as far as sincerely caring for the spiritual needs of others. What do they do instead? They're seeking their own. They're really looking out for their own business. And granted, perhaps they had some pressing issues, but their priority was not on others, it was on their own things. And so Paul says, I've sent you Timothy because he's different. He is in contrast to all these others who seek their own. Timothy was a man who sought the things that are of Christ Jesus. Now, if we were around Paul and while he was in prison, what would he say concerning us? Would he send us to go to the Philippian church? Would he recognize in us that we don't seek our own things? That's not what our priority is. Our mindset is doing the Lord's will, having the mind of Christ, sacrificing whatever for the good of others. Verse 22, Timothy was a special man, but you know his proven character that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, as we go back to the book of Acts, and we read about whenever the city of Philippi was first evangelized, of course Paul was there, but Timothy also would have been there. So some of these believers in the Philippian church would have known very well concerning Timothy. They would have known his character, how Timothy was one that was faithful and true. And notice this, the description that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy was right alongside Paul. He learned so much from Paul. And he was faithful in serving and doing the work of the ministry. He served with me in the gospel. Both Paul and Timothy were the slaves of Jesus Christ, doing the bidding of their master. They served together. Timothy served with him in the gospel. Now we come to verse 23. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. So Paul's plans here, yes, I will send Timothy, but not right away. We don't know for sure what's going on here. Perhaps Timothy is involved, we don't really know for sure, whether it's an issue with a church-related thing, or whether it's something to do with his imprisonment. But there's something that is going to happen. And Paul wants to see how it goes with him. And whenever he finds that out, then he's going to send Timothy. And Timothy is going to have really the latest news to be able to share with the Philippians. This is how it is with Paul. This is the latest news. So Paul's plans are, yes, I will send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Now for verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul had that confidence, and I believe it's a confidence that the Lord gave to him, that he himself would be released from prison. He would be able to go and bodily be with the Philippians and encourage them. But so we see one godly example. Well, really two, but first, the Timothy is a godly example of one who has the mind of Jesus Christ. And also whenever Paul comes, he too has the mind of Christ. The Philippians will be able to look at these men, Timothy in particular, this man is a living example of someone who has the mind of Christ. He wasn't concerned about his own things. He was concerned about us and our needs. And now we come to verses 25 through 30. Verses 25 through 30, we find another young man, or I can't say young, we don't know exactly how old he is, but we find another example of a man who has the mind of Christ, the man Epaphroditus. Verses 25 through 30. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him, but not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of the Lord he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So Paul first of all shared the plan that Timothy soon would come and see them. A godly man. A man who has the mind of Christ. But right now, at this time, the Philippians could look at the man Epaphroditus. And this man Epaphroditus also had the mind of Christ. As we look ahead, we recognize that Epaphroditus had a special ministry. He was the one, yes, that delivered this letter, but he also ministered to Paul. But first of all, we want to look at verse 25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Paul calls him a brother. It's not that he's a brother in a physical sense, but he's a brother in a spiritual sense. Both of them are born-again believers, but I think there's something even closer than that, because Paul could call any born-again believer his brother or his sister. But I think there was a special bond here, that special closeness. Epaphroditus is my brother. But not only that, he is my fellow worker. That's what Paul said. They worked together closely for the cause of Christ. We continue reading on. Paul also calls him my fellow soldier. They are not soldiers in the army of Caesar. They are soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. As we just sang today, earlier, am I a soldier of the cross? Am I willing to live the life of a soldier on active duty and give up all the pleasures of life for the cause of Christ? How willing, how far are we willing to go for the cause of Christ? Epaphroditus was willing to be a soldier, a fellow soldier with Paul. And you know how hard Paul worked for the cause of the gospel. He gave up so much for the cause of the gospel. They have a single purpose, Paul and Epaphroditus, getting the gospel out to those who need to hear it. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. Paul encouraged Timothy here, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." That's what a soldier looks like. If you're a soldier, you're not going to be entangled with all the things of this life. Your focus is going to be on heaven. Your focus is going to be on serving Jesus Christ. And so I think as we read about Epaphroditus, no doubt Paul had encouraged Epaphroditus right along these same lines as far as what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy there. And so Epaphroditus, he is someone that Paul loves. Epaphroditus is a valuable asset to the ministry. Epaphroditus is someone that is a faithful minister that works beside him. But yet we find Epaphroditus here as we continue on in verse 25. Paul describes him as your messenger and the minister to my need. And so we think about, well, what does this mean exactly? As far as Epaphroditus being your messenger and the minister of my need. We flip ahead to chapter 4. In verses 15 through 18 in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, in verses 15 through 18. We find out a special ministry that Epaphroditus had. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." The Philippians had a habit, a good habit, of supporting Paul financially. Really, they were basically the only church that supported Paul in this manner. And it's not something that just happened once. We even read here in chapter 4, once and again they sent aid while he was in Thessalonica. And where's Paul at now? He's in Rome. And the Philippians recognized that Paul had needs. And so what did they do? They couldn't wire it through Western Union. They couldn't even send it quickly through the U.S. Postal Service. What did they do? They sent it personally through a messenger. And that person, that faithful messenger, was Epaphroditus. And Paul here is giving confirmation to the Philippians. I have received the things that you have sent to me. And what a blessing that was. And so we understand, yes, Epaphroditus is a messenger for the Philippians. Epaphroditus is one of the Philippians. He came from that assembly. But also Paul calls him a minister to my need. Now definitely that gift that the Philippians had given would have been something that ministered to his need. That would have been a great help as far as financially. But I think Epaphroditus was willing to go even beyond that. I think the Philippians had in mind as they sent Epaphroditus, yes, to deliver the gift, the monetary gift, but to do even more, to be a faithful person there with Paul while he is in prison and to minister to his need. The Philippian church were sending, Epaphroditus as someone that could really minister to Paul in his need, taking care of whatever he needed. And so we find what type of a man Epaphroditus is. But yet we read in verse 26, Why did Paul consider it necessary to send him back? We find in verse 26, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So Epaphroditus, while he was in Rome, had this desire. He had this this desire truly to see the Philippians. He was interested in their welfare, really. He was longing for them, and he was distressed. He was deeply troubled in his soul because of what? It's not that he was longing for the Philippians because he was homesick. It's not because he had business back at home to take care of. That's not the case. He was longing for them. He was distressed. Why? Because the Philippians had heard that he was sick. Now, so somewhere along the line, after Epaphroditus left Philippi, he came down with some sickness. And whether that was on the way or whether it was there in Rome, I think probably it was somewhere along the way, Epaphroditus got sick. And somehow word got back, probably someone returning to Philippi, probably maybe on the Ignatian Way there, someone returning brought back word to the Philippians that Epaphroditus is sick. And so the Philippians are concerned, and rightfully so, concerning Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus recognized, you know, the Philippian church is concerned about me. And so he's really troubled in himself because he probably thinks, well, I put this burden upon the Philippian church, upon my brothers and sisters in Christ. They're concerned about me. We look at verse 27. Epaphroditus didn't just have a common case of the flu. It wasn't just some minor sickness. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He was sick to the point of death. He was at death's door. But God had mercy on him. Now we look at situations that we consider quote-unquote tragic, and the sickness of Epaphroditus would have been something that we would consider, well, wow, that's a terrible thing. But even in the darkest of situations, God can turn that around so that he receives the greatest glory. God had mercy on Epaphroditus. But not only on him, not only did Epaphroditus receive that mercy in the restoration of his health, but look at the rest of verse 27, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Can you imagine what Paul would have went through if Epaphroditus would have died on his way to Rome, delivering that gift from the Philippians? That really would have been a sorrow to Paul. But we'd notice, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul already had enough things on his plate. He already had enough griefs, whether it was from churches or whether it was from his imprisonment. He had things on his plate. But if Epaphroditus, if something would have happened to him, that would have been sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. So Paul says, I sent him eagerly, I sent him with haste, so that whenever you can see him, then your heart is really going to be put at ease. And then Paul also will be less sorrowful. He won't say that I'm absolutely free of sorrow or free of anxiety, but Paul will be less sorrowful. There will be another burden lifted off him. Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Now as we read through this passage, I think Paul is really trying to drive this home. You need to accept Epaphroditus. You don't need to be looking down on him. You can imagine the Philippians. They had sent Epaphroditus not only to deliver this gift, but to stay with Paul and to minister to him. So you can imagine what the Philippians were thinking whenever they see Epaphroditus coming back so soon. They may have thought, well, Epaphroditus was he didn't do his ministry correctly. He somehow let down Paul. You can see how the Philippians would think that. And so Paul is really driving home the point. You need to receive Epaphroditus because this is for your good. Receive him in the Lord with all gladness, but also it's for Epaphroditus' good. But Paul says, receive him in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Why? Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So Epaphroditus was one who had the mind of Christ. He was willing to sacrifice his health, to sacrifice even his life so that God's ministry would go forth. He was willing to do whatever it took to get that gift to Paul and to do whatever it took to really minister to Paul. He was a man who had the mind of Christ. And Paul says, esteem men like this, men who have the mind of Christ, esteem them for their work in the Lord. Paul ends this verse at verse 30. He didn't regard his own life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Now we may think here, well, Paul is kind of looking down upon the Philippians because they didn't supply this thing that was lacking. But yet, Paul is just stating the facts here. Paul is looking at this. Yes, the Philippians had care for Paul, but there's only so much that they can do. They're separated by a long distance, aren't they? It's not as if the whole Philippian church can come to Rome and minister to him. And so Epaphroditus was sent as a messenger, as a caregiver, really in the place of or in the service of the Philippians, so that Paul could receive this ministry. And Paul is saying, esteem men like this, because he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice his own life so that he could minister to me on your behalf. A man with the mind of Christ. And so we find two living examples here. We find Timothy, first of all, a man that the Philippians knew well, and Epaphroditus, one of their own. Both of them living examples of the mind of Christ, willing to sacrifice their lives for the cause of Christ. Where are we at this evening? Do we have the mind of Christ? Have we found within this church people that we can look at and say, yes, that is a man I want to follow, or that is a woman that I want to follow, because they clearly display the mind of Christ? If we look at our own lives, can we say, yes, I am displaying the mind of Christ for others to follow? Are we being a godly example? None of us are perfect. None of us have reached that point to where we are perfectly showing the mind of Christ, but all of us need to be working toward that goal. All of us must have that desire. I want to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to just be concerned about my affairs. I don't want to be just concerned about, you know, me, myself, and I. No, I want to be concerned about, first of all, Jesus Christ and serving God, but filtering down, I want to have the concern of Jesus Christ for others. I want to be loving others. I want to be going beyond what is even comfortable for me to serve one another. Do we have that mind of service? Do we truly love one another? Where is our mind at? Do we have the mind of Christ, or are we selfish? That is the question. We've been challenged with this. Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul, men who have the mind of Christ, men that the Philippians could look at. Yes, I want to do that. I want to be that. Are we men and women who have the mind of Christ? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to have the mind of Christ. I do thank you for the godly examples of Paul and of Timothy and of Epaphroditus. And I pray that we'd even follow them as they follow Jesus Christ. Help us to be willing to sacrifice even our own lives so that others may be blessed, so that others can profit. I pray that we'd ultimately be following Jesus Christ. I do thank you for Jesus, because without him, we'd be lost. We'd have no hope. I pray that we'd just be following him every day, more and more. And I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together in closing and sing 371. 371. Have then, O way, Lord.
Just sang it, and it's very easy to sing this, but actually doing this, being committed day in and day out to this, that's another thing. Have thine own way, Lord. Yes, Jesus is the potter, and we are the clay. Are we praying that God would mold us more into his image? Are we having that desire to have the mind of Christ, to be in the image of Jesus Christ? we have the burden really to help one another, to go out of our way for one another. Have thine own way, Lord. Let's go ahead and sing stanza 4.
Let's sing. Back, why don't you close us in prayer?
Sure. Sacred God, I just thank you for bringing us all here together, that we might be able to sing praises to you, that we might be able to hear from the Word of God. Lord, we just thank you for the examples that we find there, and that we just pray, Lord, that you would make us into examples that others around us can follow. I just pray, Lord, that you just give us a greater desire for your Word, give us a greater thankfulness for your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to pray this in Christ's name. Amen.